From Brennan to the Boca Chiel, from Lamy to La Push, and from the lordly Sawduck to lovely Duckabush. From Samish to Sammamish, Suquamish to Quilicene, the climate is so friendly, it's a land that's evergreen.
Hello, and welcome to the History of the Evergreen State podcast. I'm your host, John C., and thank you for joining me today for episode 98, Snoqualmie Pass and the Sunset Highway. Snoqualmie Pass, at 3,022 feet, is the lowest of the Evergreen State's cross-cascade passes and has long operated as a transportation corridor for people and products traveling between the east and west sides of the state. A variety of mountain passes were traversed by native populations, including the Yakima, Klickitat, Snoqualmie, and other bands that would later be known as the Muckleshoot, as well as others, in order to trade and socialize. After the 1730s, horses were introduced to the route. A wider regional network linked the Trans-Cascade trade relations to the American Southwest, eastward to the Great Plains, and northward to the territory that would become Alaska. In addition to dentalia, shells that were used as currency, and dogfish oil from the coast, obsidian, which was taken from the mountains, robes made of buffalo hide from the plains, and horses from the horse-raising tribes of the Columbia River Plateau were also traded, among numerous other items. Cattle produced on the shrub steppe east of the Cascades and transported over Snoqualmie Pass were brought to the Hudson's Bay Company's stations in what is now western Washington in the 1830s. They transported livestock to Fort Nisqually on Puget Sound with the assistance of local Indians who were familiar with the passes. Following wagon trails into the northwest that led to today's Willamette Valley in the 1840s, the northwest was still legally owned by Indian tribes, and the British and American governments had agreed to joint occupation in 1818. Early immigrants from the United States still made their way to the Columbia River Gorge in the 1840s. The Cowlitz Prairie and Puget Sound became more popular destinations for settlers as that valley grew more crowded with agriculture. It was a difficult journey, and settlers in Olympia and Steilacoom pleaded with the federal government to build a road across the Cascades to Puget Sound, which would eventually be granted. A growing number of settlers were arriving in Oregon in the 1850s, creating a sense of urgency to build a road that would connect them to the rest of the country. During the United States Exploring Expedition's 1841 journey through Natchez Pass, John Edgar, Whitfield Curtley, Edward J. Allen, and George Schaeser discovered a route across Natchez Pass that they used in their exploration. The federal government allotted $20,000 for a road that year, but it does not appear that any of the money was ever spent on the project. As a substitute, local residents collected funds and volunteered their time to assist with the project. The development of a route from Walla Walla to Puget Sound was critical to the achievement of their highest and grandest ambitions. Natchez Pass was traversed by the Longmire wagon train in October of that year. However, there was one especially difficult section that necessitated lowering the wagons down a precipice using rope and strips of cowhide from a number of the wagon train's animals. Despite the difficulties, however, the entire group made it through and would be followed by additional groups. The search for a more direct and convenient path for wagons and anticipated railroad trains continued in the meanwhile. In the 1850s, Army Captain George McClellan, Lieutenant Abel Tinkham, and Seattle businessmen Dexter Horton and Carson Bourne attempted to study routes across Snoqualmie Pass. On a personal side note, I married my wife in a beautiful outdoor ceremony near the Tinkham Road campground almost 5 years ago, so the area holds a special place to me. Anyways, several people made the mistake of taking the more difficult Yakima Pass just south of Snoqualmie and were stalled by the treacherous crossing. Regional and national issues that would eventually lead to the Civil War, as well as local conflicts over treaties between Native tribes and the federal government, hindered the development of a Trans-Mountain Railway route. The discovery of gold in the Fraser River in what would become British Columbia in 1858 prompted the establishment of the Snoqualmie Pass route. By following the road inland until it met up with an overland trail that led to the Fraser River, hopeful miners on foot and horseback camped and made their way to the gold they so desperately sought. A decade later, residents of Seattle attempted to build a wagon path across the mountain once again. Businesses in Seattle would benefit from a more direct connection to Walla Walla, which is an important economic and transportation hub in the interior of the state. The Mullen Road ran from Walla Walla into the mining regions of what would become Idaho and Montana, connecting the two states. Additionally, the Oregon Trail went through Walla Walla, and many emigrants stopped for supplies along the way. In his narrative, Arthur A. Denny claims that he, Jeremiah Borst, and William Perkins met with Seniwa, a Klickitat man, in 1865 to discuss the route across Snoqualmie Pass with him and other members of the expedition. Suniwa gave instructions to two younger men from his tribe, and they were in charge of leading the Seattle group through the pass. Denny reported that they diverted away from the Indian track at the summit and took a different route down Lake Achilles, though the reason for this is pretty unclear. A crew worked on a road from Ranger's Prairie, which was later renamed to North Bend, out to Lake Achilles, a long, narrow mountain lake running roughly south from just east of the pass, from which the Yakima River flows southeast toward the Columbia. King County and local residents contributed money that fall, and the road was completed the following spring. It wasn't until the summer of 1867 that construction was restarted, with a road being completed to the south end of Lake Achilles that same year. The path was utilized by emigrants traveling by wagon train to reach Seattle. Beginning in Walla Walla, they traveled up the Walla Walla, Columbia, and Yakima rivers until they reached the peak of Snoqualmie Pass, where they camped for the night. Other sources describe how the emigrants constructed rafts from wood found around the lake and floated their wagons and passengers to the north end, where the livestock had to swim, where they unloaded and followed the trail westward, contrary to Denny's assertion that the road led to the south end of the lake. Maybe they utilized rafts while the water level was higher, the snow was deep, and they followed a lakeside track when the water level was low, which would have been late summer and early fall. As the trail descended from Snoqualmie Pass, it passed through the South Fork Snoqualmie River Valley, passing close to where Issaquah is today. From there, the wagon road brought travelers around Cougar Mountain and into the area that would eventually become Renton, where it joined with a military road that ran from Steilacoom to Seattle. The pass was crossed by travelers from both directions. In the eastern part of the territory, there was plenty of rangeland that could be claimed under the terms of the 1862 Homestead Act. Early pioneers Charles Splawn and Dulcina Thorpe Splawn, as well as Tillman Hauser and Louise Hauser, crossed the divide from the west to the east in 1868. On the Yakima River, near the eventual location of Ellensburg, A.J. Splawn and Ben Birch constructed a trading post, which became known as the Robber's Roost Trading Post in 1870. When Splawn decided to sell the store, he sold it to John Shouty and his wife Mary Ellen in 1871. The trail was utilized by John Shouty to transport supplies for his store. Despite the fact that the trail was used by miners to travel to mineral-rich areas on the east side of the Cascades, cattle were the most regular sighting along the road. On the range east of the mountains, farmers raised cattle, sheep, pigs, and horses, driving them to markets on the west side of the mountains via Snoqualmie Pass. The livestock crossing the pass was valued at $500,000 per year in 1883, according to the Ellensburg newspaper The Kittitas Standard. Even if one takes into account the inflated propensity of newspapers at the time, a significant number of animals were transported to market over the pass. In a memorial to Congress in 1881, the Washington Territorial Legislature outlined a number of justifications for constructing the Snoqualmie Pass route, including the necessity for eastern Washington farm products, mainly livestock of course, to feed the growing population in western Washington, among other things. Additionally, farmers in eastern Washington would have easier access to Puget Sound ports as a result of this project. In addition, the new route would allow for more dependable and speedier postal delivery. According to the Washington Territorial Legislature, a route across Snoqualmie Pass would encourage the growth of the entirety of Washington Territory. Congress was not persuaded to allocate any funds, though, and as demand for a better road that could accommodate larger freight wagons developed, a group of investors formed the Seattle and Walla Walla Trail and Wagon Road Company in 1883 to curate a toll road system. An investor group that was led by Walter A. Bull, Nathan W. Preston, and Henry M. Bryant formed the Toll Road Corporation in order to construct and maintain the road from Tanium Creek near Ellensburg to the Snoqualmie Plain. If you'd like to learn more about Walter A. Bull, consider checking out episode 48 released back in June of 2022. Anyways, existing trails would be intersected at either end of the trail down the west slope of the Cascades via the South Fork Snoqualmie River Valley and southeast to Walla Walla through the Yakima River Valley. In 1884, the Kittitas County Board of Commissioners granted the corporation the right to operate a road franchise. Although the road was constructed, it failed to meet the aspirations of its proprietors. Travelers were able to avoid paying the toll, and the Northern Pacific Railway built a rail line via Stampede Pass, which is located slightly south of the Snoqualmie and Yakima Passes, in 1888. People and products could be transported across the mountains with the railroad, which operated through Spokane, Pasco, Yakima, and Ellensburg. The railroad was a dependable mode of transportation. The town of Walla Walla began to lose its regional significance, and efforts to upgrade the road across Snoqualmie Pass faltered and fizzled out as a result. The state, as well as King and Kittitas counties, allocated funding in 1899 and awarded a contract to David Denny to restore the existing road, which was completed a decade prior. Denny, who was familiar with the terrain because he had worked mining claims in the area, restored river crossings, cleaned trash from the road, and erected bridges, but he was unable to complete the project in the time frame provided due to the lack of funding. According to his report, it appears that the most challenging part of the journey was crossing the rivers. While crossing the Snoqualmie and Yakima rivers a number of times in order to follow the most favorable gradients along the hillsides, the flowing water frequently wreaked havoc on the trail's progress. Despite the fact that the road was in poor shape, Denny was taken aback by the volume of traffic he witnessed on it that summer. A total of 1,148 horses and wagons traversed the pass. A number of them were pioneers from the East Coast and Midwest who had arrived as the tail end of wagon trains that had been traveling west over the Oregon Trail for more than 50 years. Automobiles began to arrive in the Northwest not long after Denny ended his work on Snoqualmie Pass, and the desire for better roads grew in tandem with their introduction. In 1905, the first automobiles crossed Snoqualmie Pass and ascended the summit. An 1898 Freyer Miller driven by Burt Harrison Sr. and Tom Hazelfield of Iwako was driven from Indianapolis to Seattle, while Charles L. Ray of the Automobile Club of King County and John Kelleher of Ellensburg drove a Winston over the pass from Seattle to Ellensburg. Because of the rugged path, it took each car several days to complete the journey across the pass. In the same year, the state legislature established the Highway Department, which collaborated with counties to develop a statewide road network for transportation. Work on State Road No. 7, the predecessor to the Sunset Highway between Easton, east of Snoqualmie Pass, and North Bend, west of the pass, began in 1907. The road ran from Easton to North Bend. Because of Snoqualmie Pass's low elevation and the fact that the gradients approaching it were more gentle than at other passes, State Road No. 7 was the first Trans Mountain State Highway to be constructed in the Evergreen State. Following the announcement of intentions to hold the Alaska-Yukon-Pacific Exposition in Seattle in 1909, the 1907 legislature budgeted $30,000 for clearing, grading, and the construction of bridges on the pass. The majority of visitors to the World's Fair were expected to arrive by train or steamship, but the organizers anticipated that some would arrive by automobile, and they did not want the drivers to be routed through Portland via the Columbia Gorge, which was the only other Cascades crossing at the time, thereby emphasizing Seattle's remoteness. The road across the pass was prepared by blasting rock and clearing a passage along the eastern bank of Lake Achilles, constructing a bridge across the Cachess River, and clearing trees and rocks from the road. The road would be completed by that December. A transcontinental vehicle race from New York to Seattle was also planned with the assistance of the fair's organizers. The race officially began with the firing of a starting pistol at the exact moment the Seattle World's Fair opened its doors. Two Ford Model Ts, a Shawmut, and a Tala, and an Acme traveled across the country in a tangle of unmarked and unmapped roads. They all followed the Snoqualmie Pass route over the mountains and into Seattle once they reached the eastern portion of the Evergreen State, with the exception of the Tala, which took a rail car through the mountains to get there. After arriving in Seattle, the drivers appeared to have been painted with mud, and the Shawmut team referred to the Snoqualmie Pass section of the race as by far the worst road we faced throughout the entire journey. In addition to the racing vehicles, a total of 105 automobiles passed through the pass throughout the summer and fall. Over the following years, road work continued, with annual closures for snow removal in the winter and spring cleanups during the melt-off. A private group of road development boosters, the Good Roads Association, recommended that three trunk highways be built across the state to improve access for automobiles and economic development. The Pacific Highway, which would span the state from north to south on the west side of the mountains, the Inland Empire Highway, which would cross the agricultural lands between Ellensburg and Spokane via Yakima and Walla Walla, and the Sunset Highway. The three trunk roadways were discussed in detail in the Highway Department's biennial report, which was published the same year. As a result of the assessment, it was recommended that at least one east-west road be built in preparation for the inauguration of the Panama Canal, which was projected to take place in 1914. The people of the northwestern United States believed that the substantially reduced maritime route to the East Coast and Europe would raise demand for local agricultural and industrial products as well as natural resources. Following the release of the Highway Department's report, the legislature was advised to appropriate funds for the Snoqualmie Pass Road first because it would provide the greatest benefit to the greatest number of people in the state because it would pass through the state's most populous and productive areas. Before the Panama Pacific International Exposition opened in San Francisco, the Automobile Club of Seattle backed the construction of the Sunset Highway in Seattle in anticipation of increased traffic due to the exposition's inauguration in 1915. Similarly to the Alaska-Yukon-Pacific Exposition, organizers hoped that at least some visitors to the fair would take advantage of the improved cross-country roads and travel east to the Evergreen State, then south along the Pacific Highway, which was nearly complete and could transport travelers all the way down to California. When the Sunset Highway was officially opened in July of 1915, it took a different route than the one that had been envisioned by the early road builders on the pass in the previous years. Having been bypassed by the Northern Pacific Railway in the 1880s, Spokane surpassed Walla Walla in importance as the primary city of the Inland Empire, which was the term used to refer to the area drained by the Columbia River at the time. After passing through Cleellum and crossing Blewett Pass, the Sunset Highway turned northeast and dipped down the Peshaston Creek Valley to Wenatchee, rather than continuing southeast into Walla Walla through the Yakima River Valley to the Columbia River as it had originally been planned. The route crossed the Columbia River at the only automotive bridge over the river in the state at that location. The state was required to purchase the bridge from the Wenatchee Bridge Company, which had constructed it to transport traffic and an irrigation pipe across the river to orchards on the east side of the riverbank. The roadway continued north along the Columbia for a short distance before turning east at Arondo, connecting it with Waterville, Davenport, and Spokane, among other destinations. Officials in the Evergreen State explored routing the Sunset Highway down the Yakima River Valley all the way to Ellensburg, then east to Vantage on the Columbia River for a brief period of time. Due to the fact that a bridge had not yet been constructed at Vantage, traffic would have had to take a ferry across the river or travel through Kalakum Pass to reach Wenatchee. The Kalakum Pass route was favored by people of eastern Kittitas County, while the Blewett Pass route was preferred by residents of the Cleellum region. When Albert H. Sylvester, forest supervisor of the Wenatchee National Forest in the Evergreen State's Central Mountains, offered to subsidize the road through national forest land if it were built through Blewett Pass, it sparked a heated debate that eventually led to the route being chosen through Blewett Pass. The Sunset Highway, which began west of Snoqualmie Pass and followed the South Fork Snoqualmie River south to Issaquah, passed through North Bend, Preston, and Falls City. As the highway arrived in Issaquah, it continued southwesterly to Renton, then around the southern tip of Lake Washington and north along what would become Rainier Avenue until it reached the city of Seattle. The Sunset Highway was officially dedicated on the 1st of July 1915 in a ceremony held near Snoqualmie Pass. At the time, Governor Ernest Lister said that the completion of the highway was more significant than the arrival of the Transcontinental Railroad in Seattle, which occurred in 1893. For the majority of its length, the Sunset Highway was divided into two lanes of traffic. A single lane and turnouts were used in some sections of the stretch through Blewett Pass. However, after being a huge improvement over the course of the old wagon road, the majority of the road remained unpaved and the upper altitudes were forced to close each fall when snow covered the roadway. During April of 1915, the first car traveled across the pass on the newly constructed but not yet officially opened road. James P. Sears and Henry Heisler traveled from Seattle to Cleellum in a Metz Roadster on the newly constructed road. In an article discussing their crossing, the Seattle Times recounted 2 days of grueling labor and dogged perseverance as the drivers battled their way through muck and snow on the pass. It was a year after the Sunset Highway's completion that the federal government began distributing funds to states for road building in accordance with the requirements of the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1916. As the first government funding for roadway projects in Washington, the legislation encouraged road construction that provided routes for the newly established Rural Free Delivery Mail Service, or that spanned national forest lands. As a result of the federal monies, the state was able to do great improvements on sections of the Sunset Highway, as well as improve and maintain the gravel surface. In 1920, a branch route from Seattle to Bothell on the north end of Lake Washington was completed. It began in Falls City and traveled to Redmond, Woodinville, and Bothell before concluding there. Drivers could select between two routes around the lake, or they could make use of Translake ferries that stopped in several of the lakeside communities, including Medina, Bellevue, and Kirkland on the east side, as well as the Leschi and Madison Park areas of Seattle. New organizing structures were introduced to the rapidly expanding web of highways during the 1920s. In 1923, the Evergreen State designated roads as principal and secondary state highways named PSH and SSH, respectively, and altered the name of the Sunset Highway to PSH-2, despite the fact that it was still commonly known as the Sunset Highway. The federal government finally intervened in 1926 to provide some order to the slew of roadways that were sprouting up all throughout the country at the time. PSH-2 was given the extra designation of US-10 to signify its connection to a chain of highways that spanned the country from Seattle to Detroit, Michigan. The highway was also included in the Yellowstone Trail itinerary, which connected passengers between Seattle and Yellowstone National Park, as well as between Chicago and Detroit. Furthermore, the highway department completed a widening project on the highway west of the summit, where the ancient wagon track had relied on switchbacks to navigate the steep descent below the peak. Additionally, road crews transferred the route to the former Milwaukee Road right-of-way between the north end of Lake Cochilas and the west side of the pass between the two communities. Because the railroad had constructed a tunnel beneath Yakima Pass, it no longer required the above-ground route through Snoqualmie Pass to operate. While construction on the Sunset Highway across the pass continued into the 1930s, the highway department tried to upgrade the road. Since then, snow removal equipment had advanced to the point where highway crews could now keep the pass open throughout the winter for the first time, as they did in 1931. The paving of the route between Seattle and the pass, which was completed in 1934, improved the road's quality and dependability. The construction of a new highway and the introduction of Milwaukee Road train service to a station at Hyatt resulted in a significant increase in the number of skiers at Snoqualmie Valley. Skiing had begun in Clee Ellum near Snoqualmie in the 1920s, but the focus shifted to the summit area in the late 1920s when railroad service was established, and the activity picked up in the 1930s when the highway was made accessible all year. The Mountaineers, the Milwaukee Road, and the Seattle Parks and Recreation Department all ran ski facilities until the Second World War forced the railroad to cease operating ski trains and close the facilities. During the war, skiing was mostly restricted to those who could pull together enough gas rations to reach the peak, although a huge number of skiers returned after the war to enjoy the sport once again. In 1940, just before the outbreak of the Second World War, the Highway Department rerouted two sections of the Sunset Highway on the west side of the Cascades. It was decided that rather than going around the south end of Lake Washington, the highway would tunnel through the Mount Baker neighborhood of Seattle and cross Lake Washington on a new floating bridge, which would later be named the Lacey V. Murrow Memorial Bridge. On the east side of Mercer Island, a second trestile bridge linked traffic to the mainland. The road continued on to Issaquah, where it met up with the old route, which became the Renton branch of the highway and is now known as State Route 900, also known as Sunset Boulevard and the Renton-Issaquah Road. A second reroute avoided Fall City to allow for a more direct route between Issaquah and North Bend, which was previously impossible. Following completion of a new highway between Clee Ellum and Spokane in the 1940s, the Sunset Highway US 10 was rerouted to follow that route, passing through Ellensburg and Vantage, where a bridge across the Columbia River had been erected in 1926, Ritzville, and Sprague on its way to Spokane. United States Route 97 was established as a replacement for the Sunset Highway route over Blewett Pass and through Wenatchee and Arondo, and U.S. Route 2 was established as a replacement for the Sunset Highway route east of Arondo through Waterville and Davenport to Spokane. U.S. 2 was subsequently rerouted between Davenport and Spokane and briefly east of Creston. Immediately following the Second World War, as automobile ownership rates soared and traffic volumes grew, the state embarked on a project to expand the capacity of the Sunset Highway. Parts of the highway, beginning with the segment between North Bend and Easton, were widened to four lanes to accommodate the expansion. Drivers near Lake Cochilas were protected from avalanches by snowsheds built over the roadway in the 1950s, which also reduced the amount of time the road had to be closed for snow clearance. The path of US 97 over Blewett Pass remained two-lane until 1956, when the route was modified. The Highway Department rerouted the road to Swauk Pass, which is located just east of Blewett Pass to the east. Blewett Pass was the name given to this route because it had fewer turns, 37 instead of 248, and a lower grade than the others. Formerly known as Old Blewett Pass, the previous route is still in use today as a Forest Service road. While working on the Interstate Highway Act's interstate freeway requirements, the Highway Department widened the road between Seattle and Spokane to four lanes and constructed interchanges to accommodate the increased traffic flow. In addition to bypassing communities, the new freeway route allowed for faster speeds. When the Bellevue to Seattle segment of Interstate 90 was finally finished, it was the last section of the state's highway system to be converted. The enhancements boosted the capacity of the route while also increasing its safety. Approximately 22,400 passenger vehicles and 4,600 freight trucks crossed Snoqualmie Pass per day, according to estimates from the Washington State Department of Transportation in 2009. Surely, the territorial lawmakers of 1881 would have been astounded by the sheer volume of people and freight that now passes over the pass, but they would have been less surprised by the impact the highway has had on the development of the Evergreen State. As projected, the opening of the pass for highway transportation has resulted in an increase in trade and population growth as a result of the ease with which people can now move between the two regions of the Evergreen State. A little bit of a post note here before I end the show today, but I could not talk about the Sunset Highway without talking a little more about Tinkham Road at least for a minute or two. Tinkham Road starts at exit 42 along Interstate 90 and is a rough gravel road resembling sort of what it would have been like over a century ago. There are plenty of Douglas firs, cedars, and western hemlocks in the area to keep you shaded on a warm summer day, and the flow of the nearby South Fork of the Snoqualmie River will keep you calm, though the noise of the interstate can be a bit much sometimes. At the end of the road is a trail that will eventually lead you to Tinkham Peak and your endless possibilities from there. Of course, east of Tinkham Road is Denny Creek, another beautiful former stretch of the old highway, and makes for quite the peaceful drive in the warmer months. The campground here is actually one of the oldest in the Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest and offers easy access to the nearby Wagon Road Trail, the Franklin Falls Trail, and the Denny Creek Trail, which makes for a great time exploring the Alpine Lakes Wilderness. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review and don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss a new episode. Doing so really helps the show to grow and to expand to a new audience, so any help that you can give in that regard will be greatly appreciated. Sources for this episode include the Washington Trails Association, Pioneer Days on Puget Sound by Arthur A. Denny, Passes to the North, History of Wenatchee Mountains by Edson Dow, the Northwest Highways website, HistoryLink.org, the Pacific Northwest Quarterly, Snoqualmie Pass from Indian Trail to Interstate by Yvonne Prater, the Ellensburg Daily Record, the Seattle Times, the Washington State Department of Transportation website, the Museum of History and Industry, and KingCounty.gov. Thank you for listening to Episode 98, Snoqualmie Pass and the Sunset Highway. Episode 99 will be released next week. A special thanks goes out to Al Hirsch for providing the music for the podcast. If you have any questions about the show, please contact historyoftheevergreenstatepod@gmail.com. You can also reach out through either the podcast Facebook or Instagram pages if you have any questions or episode recommendations. Thank you for listening to another episode of the History of the Evergreen State podcast. And until next time, I'm your host, John C.
There's peace on the Skokomish, on the Queets, and on the Hoh. There's calm on the Nisqually, born of ageless ice and snow. A land that nature loves so much, she stays the whole year round. I trade a royal palace for a shack on Puget Sound. There's Chimicum and Stillicum, where spouts the gooey duck, the singing Stillaguamish and the swirling Skookumchuck, and Moklips and Copalis, where the razor clams abound. A little bit of heaven is a shack on Puget Sound. A little bit of heaven is a shack on Puget Sound.